From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. If you want to learn about koalas, St. Bees Island is a prime location. It's a small island off the coast of Queensland in eastern Australia. Decades ago, koalas were imported there to enhance tourism at a local resort. The resort is long gone. The koalas have stayed, and their presence has led to a new kind of visitor, research biologists such as Alistair Meltzer.
I've been studying koalas since 1988, and I came to St. Bees Island because I heard that there were some koalas brought over here in the 1930s. What I'm doing is leading a research team trying to understand why the koalas on this island basically staying as a steady population. The question we've got is that where koalas have been introduced to islands in other parts of Australia, they've become pests. They reach plague proportions, they kill the trees that they live on, and cause a lot of damage. Where koalas have been introduced to islands in Queensland, that's in the tropics, these populations don't run out of control. So we started the study with the intention of trying to understand what's keeping the population steady, describe the population, figure out how to count the koalas on the island, see what they're eating, see where they go, see how they're dying. So we catch koalas, we fit them with radio transmitting collars, and we ear tag them, and then we follow them around through the bush.
11. Yeah, we've been walking for about 3 hours now, hiking up and down the hill, and we did find the spiders and wallabies and butterflies. If that's what we were looking for, we'd be doing a fantastic job, but right now we're still on the hunt for the koalas.
When you look at a picture of a koala and it stands out, big ears, big eyes, black nose, but put it in a tree in its natural habitat and it just blends into the landscape and it's just so hard to see.
Just to convince you that that in fact the koalas are sitting up trees waving at you as you go past, all these scratches on this tree, that's all koala scratches, yeah. But almost certainly you've walked past probably 20 koalas today.
You think?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, we're on a third reading and we weren't able to pick up anything really. Just a faint signal back down the hill.
Okay, that possibly means you have to go higher, believe it or not. It may be you're so close under the ridge that the signal's been blocked out. So go up to the crest of the ridge and listen again. Over.
Copy that.
Well, right now, basically, I am holding this antenna up high in the air and trying to catch a radio signal. Right now, I've got a pretty good signal. I think we're really close, everybody.
So you're looking for silhouettes of various koala forms. You can be looking up at a dense canopy and you suddenly see that's a patch of fur. And you don't know how you've seen that, but it's because it may be the size of half an envelope or smaller. But there you are and you can see that and you react to it and you found your koala.
Yep, for sure there's two. Mom and baby. Straight up. Okay, let's not make a lot of noise.
I can see it now. I can see his bum.
Which female is this? Handy?
This is Natasha.
Natasha. And Natasha has a young Joey. I'm not sure, but it's definitely less than 1 year.
Hello, Alistair. Are you there?
Okay, just to say that we found Natasha, and she also has a Joey.
Oh, good. We're just going for nearest neighbors. Excellent. Back with you soon.
So we take measurements of the tree that the koala is in, and then we make a small grid just running north, south, east, west based on the center of the tree. And then for each direction, we pick the closest tree within that grid just to give an idea of what the koala is being found in and around.
We came here to study the ecology of the koalas to try and understand why they were different from island koalas in other parts of Australia. And we've done that to some extent. We know a lot about how the koalas are using the landscape now, and we know that the koala population is staying stable. We understand that that is probably because the koalas are dying when they are sub-adults, before they're independent. But we haven't figured out why they're dying, and that is a mystery for us still to pursue. But while we've been doing this, we've been starting to get some insights about koala ecology more broadly. You have to understand that koalas are animals that have to keep their metabolic rate very low. putting all their energy into digesting a type of vegetation that is highly indigestible. So during the day, they tend to sit still, just keep their metabolic rate very low, and most of their activity occurs in the cool of evenings or at night. Male koalas are highly territorial, and during the breeding season, they spend a lot of time chasing other male koalas around the landscape. They do that in two ways. One is just by trumpeting at each other, so that at night you can sit down on the beach and you can listen to one koala start to bellow across the hills, and then that will trigger another koala that will answer, and then another koala will answer that, and they'll have this cascade of calls that will run around the hills. Primeval sound too. This is a sound that koalas have been making for 15 million years across Australian landscape, and so you're privileged to hearing something that's going on that can never be repeated anywhere else. And if, say, the koala became extinct, there's nothing that would replace that call. There's no other species of koala that can do that. So it's a special sound to hear.
That Science Diary, the first in an occasional series, was produced by Jim Metzner.